This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, we've been talking for the last few weeks about having a biblical, God-centered worldview and how that should be reflected in what we believe and how we see the world. Last week, as you may remember, we tackled the contentious issue of racism and how and why it is a sin. This week, we're going to probably hit another hornet's nest with a stick, as it were. When our passage for today is Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "I have now come as commander of the Lord's army." Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in homage and asked him, "What does my Lord want to say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did that. "Are you for us or for our enemies?" In other words, Joshua was asking this theophany, and I believe this was Jesus there actually, on whose side he stood. The captain said, "Neither." Some versions simply just say, "No." Think about Joshua's position. He and the Israelites were getting ready to move on Jericho, and Joshua logically wanted to know if God was with them. The answer was no, which is not the answer Joshua was hoping to get, obviously. He was saying, "I'm not for either side." So the Lord's captain said essentially, "I came to take over." The point is that God is not necessarily choosing sides. God is God. His agenda is higher than ours. He's about the task of fulfilling his plan on this earth. And here's a crucial detail in this story. When Joshua discovered, after a word from the Lord, in whose presence he stood, he fell to his knees and worshiped. Joshua was having an encounter with the Lord, and he was stricken by the holiness of that divine presence. However, even with this truth before us, that doesn't stop us from wondering if God is on our side, so to speak, or in some cases, wondering which side God favors in our current cultural climate. For a bit of history behind this, in the American Civil War, there were solid Christian believers in both armies. I'm not going to go down this route because by itself, this is obviously a contentious issue in our present state. But in Lincoln's Meditations on the Divine Will, a theological contemplation as it were, Lincoln wrote, "God's purpose is something different from either party." And you can find that quote in this book about Lincoln, who had quite a struggle in his belief about God. There was a time in Lincoln's life where he actually did not believe, but he came to believe, and which is the basis for why he told someone when they asked him, "Is God on our side?" Lincoln replied, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." His comments were in relation to the Civil War and how it seemed to be dragging on and on and on a lot longer than anybody ever wanted. And he determined, Lincoln did, that God's purposes are outside of the range of our human understanding. But we heard that same message from Isaiah the prophet, where God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways." At the beginning of World War II, Nazi soldiers wore belt buckles that said, and we need to see the next slide, it says, "Gott mit uns," which means God is with us. This belief led the Nazis to steal a panel from Jan van Eyck's masterpiece, Adoration of the Lamb, from the St. Bavo Cathedral in Ghent, Belgium. Hitler's paranormal research group believed the panel they stole had a map to the Holy Grail on it. And yes, they really did that because Hitler was obsessed with the Ark of the Covenant and the Holy Grail, because he believed those two things would verify his belief in an Aryan master race. And thus, the plots of Raiders of the Lost Ark and Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade do have a factual basis behind them. Hitler was obsessed with trying to find those two things. In college, I remember when, back in 1980, it was another election year. This was at the time when the Reverend Jerry Falwell Sr. had started a group called the Moral Majority. This led to contentions that evangelicals were trying to make Jesus look like a Republican. One day before class started in one of my political science classes, one of the students said, "The Apostle Paul was a Democrat." There was a groan in the room. But that didn't stop another student from piping up and asking, "Well, didn't Jesus say, 'Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and Republicans?'" This brings us back to our opening passage and what this message today is actually about. Are you for us or for our enemies? Joshua asked. God said, neither. When it comes to the political scene today, neither the Republicans nor the Democrats, and for that matter, the Libertarian Socialist Constitution Party or whoever, have the inside track to the ear of God. None of these are always right, and none are always wrong. Thus, God is not a Republican, and neither is he a Democrat. So neither party can claim to have a lock on the truth and claim that God is the supporter of all that they're trying to do. Only God is always right. And we must align ourselves with him. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life." So our task as followers of Christ is to always align ourselves with the Lord, who is the truth. Now, it may seem a small thing, but maybe it would be good that instead of saying, "God bless America," maybe we should pray, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done, is America as it is in heaven." There's a difference in those two statements. One of those, the first one, indicates that we want to be Americans and we want to go chugging along just like things always have been, and we just want God to bless us for it. The other one says, as did Lincoln, that we want to be on God's side. The Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." The country as a whole should come to God and repent of our national sins, racism, materialism, and abortion. And as a tidbit of fact, since the Roe versus Wade court decision, over 60 million babies have been murdered in their mother's womb. 60 million. A national American Holocaust, if you will. Yet, again, returning to our point, it's unfortunate when it comes to the political divide, we tend to view things in stark, black and white terms. I once really had a Massachusetts Republican Party official say to me with a straight face, and I don't think it was a poker face, I think he meant it, "There is no salvation outside of the Republican Party." I looked at that guy, I said, "Can you find me a Bible verse that verifies that?" He just kind of grunted at me, because it seems that he really believed what he was saying. Do you see how sad it can be when people are so deeply aligned with a political party that colors how they see everything else? We all know those who say that Obama was the greatest president in American history. And on the opposite side, there are those who say Obama was and is the worst president in American history. Along those same lines, there are those who say Trump is destroying America, and on the other side, that Trump is rescuing America from communists and the New World Order, yada, yada, yada. And these two examples clearly illustrate the divide and dilemma facing many faithful followers of Christ. This present situation is a living fulfillment of the warning that George Washington gave us in his farewell address. Historian Paul Johnson wrote in his A History of the American People that Washington warned us about the baneful effects of the spirit of the party. In other words, he was saying, don't have political parties. He said, America is united enough by our traditions, our common religion. We don't need the divide. So political parties sow division and contentious arguments, and we can all probably agree with that. It might be interesting to note that in the only place in all of Scripture where there is a hint of something like political parties is in Mark's Gospel, where he told about the Pharisees and the Herodians, who biblical historians say were a political party. The Pharisees and the Herodians were plotting together to kill Jesus. So what does that tell you about how profound people's allegiance with a party can be that leads them into the abyss? Yes, I know it's an extreme example, but political parties have succeeded in dividing the church in the United States. We know that political parties are a reality in our system, so what are we going to do about it? Well, first of all, we give our loyalty to Jesus first and do our best to avoid party politics. We have to decide for whom we vote based on biblical principles of morality, sanctity of life, and the things that are oriented towards the kingdom, not based on a party platform. And here are some things to remember. To the extent a candidate lines up with biblical truth, that's the one for whom we vote. An individual, not a party ticket. You see the difference? Another is that we should remain independent. We need to avoid being labeled. There are faithful followers of Christ in all of the various political parties. But what matters most is being identified as a Christian whose ultimate allegiance is to the kingdom of God. Again, what matters most is a Christian identifying more with the kingdom of God and standing as a holy alternative to the dangerous partisan wrangling going on in our country. One of the most damaging things that has happened to the cause of the kingdom in the last 30 to 40 years is the reality that many evangelical Christians began to see themselves as being on the right side of every issue because they allied with the Republican Party. First, it was the moral majority, then the Christian Coalition and others like it. That's why there's so much media and cultural criticism of the evangelical church, and that's why there's so much not too subtle sarcasm and satire about Jesus being a Republican. Because the evangelical church has allied itself with the Republican Party. That allegiance is also why so many in our country have actually turned away from the church. They see the partisan politics and have come to believe that because they have different beliefs that they don't fit in the church. My oldest son regularly reminds me that this fact is why there are a host of social media pages on Facebook and Reddit railing against the church. The evangelical church has turned off so many who are under the age of 40 because they believe that they have to become Republicans to become Christians, or something to that effect. That's why Christians have to come out from the worldly masses and take a stand for Jesus Christ and His kingdom and stay above the partisan fray. Our highest calling is to serve Jesus and be His representative in this fleshly world. Yes, stay involved. Work for the issues that line up with biblical values, but do it from a biblical perspective, not some party platform. And do not be stained by the partisan labels. That's how we will become Jesus' change agents in our land. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.